Today's podcast is brought to you by my book, The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. The Sex Spiral will teach you God's design for sexuality, the triggers that lead to porn addiction, and how to exit the sex spiral with a purity plan for your life. You can order online at Amazon.com or any other retailer. Hey, thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy today's show.
The Dustin Daniels Show, unashamedly proclaiming God's purity through His Son, Jesus Christ. Devoted to saving marriages, dedicated to protecting children, addressing sex with biblical truth and without shock value. You're listening to the intersection of life and lust. Call toll free at 1-855-5-DUSTIN. And now, here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock, they shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you, they shall pass over, armed before your brothers, and help them. So Joshua and all the fighting men arose to go up to Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them out by night. And Joshua went up from Gilgal, and he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. What does it take to be a mighty man of valor? What does it take to be a regular guy that has great courage in the face of great danger? Now, does this mean that there are not brief moments of fear and doubts in your life? I would submit to you that a mighty man of valor is someone who moves towards these moments of fear, these moments of doubt, and embraces them instead of letting it paralyze and silence them. So let's bring this analogy into the realm of your sexual sin. Just like Joshua was in a real physical battle in Jericho, there is a very real spiritual battle that rages around you dealing with your sexual integrity. So what does it look like to be a man of valor in today's culture? What does it look like for you to be a godly man of character and of purity? Someone who is faithful and true to his God, his spouse, his friends, and his church. Well, my guest today has a lot to say about being that kind of a man of valor. Dr. Mark Laser is the president and director of Faithful and True. He's also the host of the Men of Valor program, which is an online radio show. Dr. Mark Laser is nationally recognized as the leading authority in the field of sexual addiction with over 27 years of recovery experience himself. Mark has written a dozen books on the subject, including his groundbreaking book, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Addiction. Mark, welcome back to the program.
Always great to be with you, Dustin. Thanks for having me again.
Last September, I had the privilege of visiting you and your team at your Minnesota headquarters for your three-day Men of Valor workshop. And it was a week I will never forget. I can't thank you enough. Today, I wanted to discuss that workshop and also your online radio program so everyone knows the resources that are available to them. And on that first day, I remember you getting up in front of these men and you explained the name of the ministry, Faithful and True. To start our discussion, would you mind explaining the name along with the meaning of that ampersand in your ministry?
Well, you know, the ampersand means that particularly on that first day of the workshop, when a lot of men come to us from all over the country who are feeling great amounts of shame about their sexual histories, I want them to know that they can be beloved followers of Christ, that they can be sons of God, and they could have committed some sexual sin. So, you know, it's not that their sexual history or their sexual sins define them. They're defined by their identity in Christ. And so, in other words, you can be a follower of Christ and you could have committed these sexual sins. So I want them to know that. But I also want them to know that there's every possibility for them to be new men in Christ, to be faithful to God, to themselves, to their wives and families, and true. So true is just, you know, the title that actually Gary Smalley came up with for us back in the early 90s. He read my first book, and he basically said, what you're really talking to men about here is being faithful and true. And there's scripture about this, and it just seems like it's a title that fit and stuck, and that's what we're after. That's our vision, to be the men that God calls us to be.
Well, and that first day, Mark, especially after that story of the ampersand, and I'm thinking, wow, how powerful is that to realize that, yes, I am a child of Almighty God. I am dearly loved. If I have accepted Christ as my Lord and my Savior, I am white as snow. He has cast my sins as far as the east is from the west.
Right.
But at the same time, I have committed sexual sin. And yet he still loves me. And I could see the men going, whoa, I'm this and this?
Well, you know, it's kind of like one of the stories, as you know, that I tell is about my own father, who was a great pastor. He brought lots of people to the Lord. He built large churches wherever he went. He was an absolutely incredible Bible teacher. He was a sex addict, I think, most of his life. So if I said my dad was a great pastor, a great father, a good man, but he was a sex addict,
right?
The but cancels everything else out, you know, and I think things can coexist. The ultimate ampersand, Dustin, is that Christ is God and man.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate ampersand.
Yeah.
So his divinity and his humanity can coexist. And so many things in us can coexist too.
You talk about the power of your own story on that first day. Your story is unbelievably powerful. You made me laugh because, you know, when we tell our stories, you said, we tell it like a newscaster. It just made me really realize that, you know what, we really do. We really need to embrace our story like the kind of guy that I am or I was. And I was a liar back then. I was an adulterer back then. Can you say more on that?
One of the ways we get past our shame, and that's why the ampersand is so important, but one of the ways is to tell our story. I mean, we've been living with the men that come to the workshop. I mean, they've been living with secrets since they were 3, 4, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. So I think the main power of the workshop, Dustin, is just to get there, get in community of men, and to start telling your story, and to find out that when you tell your story, men nod their heads in approval, that you're courageous enough to get honest about your story. And men give you hugs because you've been that courageously honest. I saw one of our guys that graduated from the workshop the other day do his testimony at church. You know how we do faith stories at church?
Sure.
He did his faith story, and he told about the fact that he had struggled with lust and pornography and so forth most of his life, and finally he got set free and all of that. At the end of the faith story, it's the only faith story that I've ever seen the congregation give a standing ovation.
Praise God. Wow.
Yeah. So wow. I think Satan has been lying to us. You know, obviously about so many things, but one of the things he lies to us about is if you tell that aspect of your history, if you tell that part of yourself, if you reveal this to your wife, she will leave you, she'll divorce you. You know, Satan lies to us about this, and then the secrecy keeps us locked in shame, and the shame will always drive us to medicate that. So, embracing your story. Jesus was a storyteller. You know, the great thing about Jesus was, in so many of the examples in the New Testament, he knew a person's story before the...
That's right. Yeah, there's no getting away with anything on that deal.
Jesus knows your story, so you might as well confess it. And I think we can, you know, the power of confession, too, by the way. I mean, James 5:16, confess your sins to one another so that you might be healed. Well, I mean, telling your story is a form of confession. I think sometimes we're too weak in the way we confess. We go to church and there's a quiet time for 30 seconds, confess your sins to God. I think no, we need to do it face to face. We need to do it in community. When we embrace our story that way, that is a large part of what sets us free, gets us free of the shame.
Absolutely. You know, and I've been telling my story now for 10 years, and my life, fortunately, by God's grace, is it's an open book. It's a glass house. But yet I still feel the grace of Almighty God when I share the story and someone hears it for the first time. After almost 30 years, Mark, do you feel that way as well? Do you ever get tired of sharing your story, or does it still continue at some level to set you free and at the same time set others free as well?
I think exactly what you just said, Dustin. By the way, I'm so proud of you for the fact that you're so open about your story. We need more people doing that. There are ongoing experiences after, now, like you said, almost 30 years. One of my favorite examples was down in, we were doing a mission teaching trip down to Brazil last fall, and I always started teaching wherever I'm at, whether I'm there for 1 hour or, in this case, 5 days. And I told my story, and of course it was being translated into Portuguese. And after the workshop was over, there was tons of people that came up and wanted to have their picture with me. The Brazilians are good at that. So, but the leader of the conference came up to me and said, Mark, you don't know how many people have come up to me and said that when you told your story on the first day, they were blessed by that. Mm. They said that they might not have listened to other things you had to say if you hadn't told your own story.
Right.
It was like it changed the energy of this Christian crowd. And I will tell you this, one of the things that makes me so passionate is that we should not work in this field if we're not willing to tell our own story.
Yeah.
There are a lot of national leaders in our field, secular and Christian, who are, working in the field, but have not been willing to tell their own story. And I just think that's sad. We need to be careful. When I tell my story, I'm not telling my story to honor me. Oh, what a great guy I am that now I have 27 years of sobriety. If I'm telling my story for that reason, that's all the wrong reasons. No, it's my story of all this egregious sexual sin does not glorify me in any way. When I tell my story, it's totally to emphasize, what God has done in my life to transform my life through the power of the Holy Spirit. So anytime I tell my story, it's to glorify God in what he's done in my life. And if that's the motivation, we need a lot more people doing it.
Dr. Mark Laser is my guest today, author of over a dozen books regarding sexual integrity and addiction. And today we're speaking on his Men of Valor workshops and his podcast. You can visit Mark at faithfulandtrue.com. One of the first questions that you asked the men when we were there on day one, Mark, was, do you want to get well?
Right.
And that comes right out of John 5. I love that. Will you explain that?
Well, it's the story of a pool in Jerusalem that had healing properties, and the Bible describes that an angel would come down every day and stir the waters, and when the waters were stirred, the first person in the pool would be healed. I love, so many times when we're teaching a Bible story, I think, Dustin, don't we need to pause and see how is God speaking to us today?
Absolutely,
So when I'm teaching that story, I pause there and say, are any of you here at the workshop, are you stirred up? Are the waters of your life stirred up? In fact, the King James translation of that is the angel came down and troubled the water. So, are any of you here in troubled waters? Well, it's always in trouble and being stirred up that God perfects our character. That's Romans chapter 5. So, I just think that the image of this healing pool is if we're willing to dive in, if we're willing to get into it, embrace the trouble, embrace the stirring, embrace the problem, God's going to heal us. Well, there's a guy that's been there for 38 years. He's an invalid, and the Greek word there, asteneia, means that he was weak of soul, mind, and body. So he was an invalid, but, he couldn't walk, I guess, but, he was also weak of soul and mind. And Jesus asks him a central question, do you want to get well? Jesus cuts to the chase. He doesn't ask him about his history. He doesn't ask him how he's feeling. he just said, oh, this must be tough, tell me about it. No, he just said, do you want to get well? And the guy is weak of soul. I mean, he basically says, he's got excuses. I've had no one to help me. When I go down, somebody else gets in my way. He's a complainer. He's like a 38-year-old professional victim. And Jesus just said, get up. I can almost hear it. You know, I said, get up. You know, stop being so weak of soul, mind, and body. Get up. And I love that, you know, when the men are there and they're feeling like they're in these victim places, they're feeling sorry for themselves. No one will understand. No one will care. All these things get in my way. You know, it's not me asking the question at the workshop. I'm just pointing out that Jesus is in the room asking the question, you know, do you want to get well? You know, do you want to be a man of courage, valor? Do you want to be strong? Get up, then get up and follow Christ. And, you know, let's get through this. And we're going to teach you a whole lot of practical things to help you stay free of this. But in the meantime, it all starts with your willingness to follow Christ and get up, you know. So that, anyway, that's the story where we start.
And I love the fact that Jesus was so to the point. It wasn't this long, drawn-out conversation, and I think that you talk about that in your workshop. Notice how Jesus really doesn't have these long, drawn-out, you know, psychological conversations with people.
Well, you know, it slaps me upside the head every day when, you know, I've got people in my counseling office, you know, it's like... Sometimes I think the older I get, sometimes the bolder I get, you know, because hopefully my faith is strengthened. But I can be pretty confrontational. You know, it's like, you know, that's the biggest crock that I've ever heard, what you just said. So anyway, I'm sorry. I may be scaring people off, but we're going to be bold in proclaiming truth, and we're going to be bold in inviting people that want to be free. We want to be bold in that claim. It's not our boldness. It's not our knowledge. It's not my degrees. It's what Christ can do in your life.
And Jesus was both truth and grace. And what you're talking, the boldness, what I hear from you, Mark, is that the boldness is the Holy Spirit leading you to ask the tough truth questions.
Right, exactly.
You got to have truth. It makes the truth will set you free, but it's gonna hurt first.
That is right. That is right, yeah. Yeah, I maybe shouldn't say this, but after we finish this show, I've got an appointment by Skype with a missionary in another part of the world. And, you know, he's been called by God to go minister in a part of the world that needs to be ministered to. And he is crashing and burning over there with prostitutes, you know, weekly. And you can believe, Dustin, that when I talk to him, I'm going to be fairly bold. So
we need it. We need that truth, because without the truth, the grace doesn't really apply to me at some level, because I don't really realize what a liar I am and how bad I've hurt my family and my wife and my church. And most importantly, my God. I've sinned against my God. And until someone like you, Mark, tells me, hey, knucklehead, here's God's truth, then the grace. Then we can start swimming in this ocean of grace, right?
Yeah. Then we can get in the pool of healing salvation waters. That's exactly it. By the way, you know, shame is not always unhealthy. Shame can remind us that, you know, we've done a lot of horrible things and we need God. That's healthy shame. Unhealthy shame is when we think we're not even worthy of God's grace. So sometimes we need to be very bold and just reminding guys of what's true about God and what's true about your history and what's true about your attitude at times. And, then grace will abound. There's no doubt about it. If guys get willing, grace will abound.
Day two of your workshop, you started it off reading from John 4 about the woman at the well, and you asked the question, what are you thirsty for?
Well, yeah, most people know that story, Dustin. It's just a great, that's one of those examples where Jesus knew her story.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew that she'd been married five times, was currently living in sin with another guy. She's at a well at a time of the day in a place and location. No other women are there. She's a woman of great disgrace. So Jesus knows all of this, and she offers to help him get a drink of physical water, and that's when he says to her, anyone who drinks of the water of this well will always be thirsty, but anyone who drinks of the living water that I offer will never thirst. So I just ask the men, you know, you're kind of here like this woman is at the well. I mean, you've had your sexual sins. You're kind of here in disgrace. And I want you to know that you know, God chooses to talk to, you know, the broken, the shamed, the outcast, you know. John, when he's painting the picture of this woman, she's a Samaritan, she's a woman, she's an adulteress. So, I mean, John is painting for us the picture of the worst possible outcast there could be in Jesus' day. And this is the person that Jesus is talking to. And this is the first person in the Gospel of John that Jesus reveals that he is, in fact, the Messiah.
Right. That's amazing.
I love that. So you guys are sitting here in all your shame, feeling sorry for yourselves. You've done all these terrible things. Your wife is not talking to you right now. Well, guess what? Your wife might not be talking to you right now, but Jesus is talking to you right
That's
now.
Right. That's right.
He wants to have a conversation with you, and he wants to know, what are you thirsty for? Are you thirsty for your next acting out experience sexually? Are you thirsty for the next pornographic picture, the next affair, whatever it is? I mean, and as I talk about when I'm teaching this, you know, I've had guys that have come to the workshops who have, you know, been sexual with hundreds of women. I've had famous people come, movie stars, and actually been sexual with women that my average guy only lusts after.
Right.
So, and I tell the story of this one particular guy who's acted out with every famous woman imaginable. And he said at the end of our conversation, it was never enough. One of the women he acted out with was the Playboy Playmate of the Year. And I said, you know, my average guy is only lusting after that woman. He's just thinking about her in his head. This guy actually did it.
Right.
And for this guy to say, that was never enough, it's just confirmation of what Jesus is telling us. You know, you can drink of the water of sexuality again, and it's never going to quench your thirst. I mean, the only thing that will is that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that I think we communicate to each other also and experience together in community. You know, I think living water is experienced when the men come to the workshop, embrace their story, tell the truth, encourage each other. And then they find out that, hey, there's another answer to your loneliness, your brokenness, your shame, and everything else. I think the workshop, what we're really after, is living water, to be living water to each other.
Mark, you also host a podcast, an online radio program called The Men of Valor. Tell us what that is.
Well, you know, that's our humble little once-a-week, half-hour show. You've been on it. It's just me talking about various topics with our co-host, Randy Everett. We sometimes occasionally have a guest on, and we just cover topics about sexuality, theology. Yesterday, we were talking about prayer. It's too long. We don't have time for me to tell the story of something that happened to me a couple weeks ago. And well, I can tell you, I had a group of apostolic Christians pray for me to get from Pasadena, California, to San Diego, on the California freeways, in a matter of time that I needed to pick up my wife from the airport. I had 20 guys surround me at a church,
wow.
And they prayed at the top of their lungs. They jumped up and down, and I've been on the California freeways hundreds of times, and I got from Pasadena, California, to San Diego Airport in basically 2 hours.
Wow.
And there was virtually no traffic on freeways that are totally congested. Anyway, I'm now becoming more of a believer in enthusiastic jumping up and down prayers.
That is awesome. Mark Laser, thank you so much for joining us. You are the author of over a dozen books regarding sexual integrity and addiction. To find out more about Mark, faithfulandtrue.com. If you are looking to get started in your wholeness, in your healing from your lust, from your sexual sin, maybe your sexual addiction, that is where the healing begins. Faithfulandtrue.com. The kingdom of God, guys, it's not just a lot of talk. It's living in God's power. I love you. We'll see you next week.
The Dustin Daniels Radio Show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering counseling advice for your personal situation. If you need further help, we encourage you to seek the services of a Christ-based counseling professional. For more information on the radio show, visit DustinDanielsRadio.com.